message. So,
if you're noticing a few empty seats, as you know, it's Labor Day coming up tomorrow. How many of you celebrate Labor Day? Yeah, see? See, I get confused. You do?
Yeah.
You,
well, not in context.
Yeah. Right, right. See, yeah, we all love having a day off. But you don't go around and say, hey, happy Labor Day, right? Maybe if someone just gave birth, then you'd say, hey, happy Labor Day. But that's a totally different thing. But we don't get parties. Never been to a Labor Day party. But we like having the day off. Anybody know when Labor Day started? Okay. Did you? 1894. So that, you heard that at church, so stick with it. That's 1894. So we've been doing this for a while, this Labor Day thing, and all of us have been enjoying the benefits of the labor movement. And to be honest with you, I have absolutely no association with it. It doesn't strike me. I struggle every year between thinking, is this Labor Day or Memorial Day? It's one of those sort of generic holidays where people hang up their flag if they want to and we take the day off. So Judy and I, we have Monday off. And so Judy came home from work on Friday and she said, oh, my vacation starts. And so we got together and decided to go out on a date and celebrate the beginning of our Labor Day festivities. And we went to see the Lion King. Now, before you tip your hand, I'll tip mine. I don't like this movie. I didn't like the first one. And so if I'm offending you, I love Jesus. I don't understand this movie. It's about killing and mean family members and immature little lion brats. And so I'm confused by it. But we decided we wanted to see it because they made it into live action. Like these computers can make real-looking animals that talk. It's if you don't like the movie, just go see how amazing technology is. But to be fair, I much preferred the real Timon and Pumbaa because they're the only fun part of the movie. If you haven't seen it, don't. But there's this little, was a little warthog, and there's a little meerkat, and they are the comic relief. So when the uncle kills the little kid's dad, you can still feel good about yourself. The Timon and Pumbaa come on the screen, and they're funny. They have comic lines, and they interact with the main character, and in my opinion, save the movie a little bit. But they have this saying. The saying is, and you've heard it probably, Hakuna Matata. Hakuna Matata. Now, I'm not a multilinguist, but they sing this little song, and Hakuna Matata means no worries. That's their life philosophy is no worries. And they sing along, and it means no worries for the rest of your days. It's their problem-free philosophy, Hakuna Matata. So you're listening to this, and they're living carefree. They're running around in the jungle and eating grubs and doing all the things that nasty little monsters do. And they're living free. And you're watching this going, I should be more carefree too. I should enjoy life and seize the moment more often like these guys are doing. We're at the theater and it's these, have you been to one of those where it's like easy chairs? And, there's a little button to recline, and they're made out of leather.
Yeah.
It's so opulent, I guess. Instead of sitting in an uncomfortable chair that somebody spilled their soda on, and it's got greasy popcorn lines, it's you feel like you're in luxury. And Judy and I are there, and we've got our feet up, and next to us is a little young lady, maybe three, maybe, nah, she's not four, three or four. And she's got her feet up and down and back up and back down. And she is out of control. I think because the movie stinks, but the reality is that she is unable to sit still. She's moving around and jumping to the front of her chair and turning around over the back and saying hi to the people behind her. And then she's got to go to the bathroom and she gets up and leaves and her mom's trying to catch her and the kid's talking full voice all the way out. She come back in, talking full voice all the way in. The mom has to come in. She's trying to intersect this. So mom comes in as this other Tasmanian machine and she's ready to take the little kid out, but the little kid will have none of it. So there's this Tasmanian brawl between mom and this kid while Timon and Pumbaa are singing Hakuna Matata. And I'm thinking, if I'm that mom, I'll Hakuna her Matata. It was awful. It was a bad movie with bad neighbors. God's grace, my wife was between me and them. But I actually, that made it worse because I was feeling bad for Judy. So it's possible the movie's decent and I've just been soured. I don't know. But that was my start to celebrating Labor Day. The reason we set days aside is the intention is for us to remember things that have happened. Remember accomplishments that have taken place, to have a recognition. So whether it's like next week, we're having a special thing for Eric. Why? To remember how he has served us and cared for us over the years. If we have a birthday, we celebrate because we love that person and we're commemorating what's taken place, that they have been a part of our lives and that we love them. Labor Day, we celebrate labor. But that's one of the ones that actually, to me, is more interesting now because we know why we do Christmas, and we keep doing it. We know why we do birthdays, but we do some days, and we actually have no idea what it is that we're celebrating. If you're taking tomorrow off, my guess is you will have very little labor celebration. Just a guess. We've been talking about what does it mean to be blessed. And I want to start off, I've already started, but I want to interrupt myself just for a moment. I want to ask you this. Are you blessed? Don't answer out loud. It's in your head. Are you blessed? We've spent 3 weeks looking at what blessed is like. And if you haven't had a chance, go on and listen. But I think it's important we understand what it means to be blessed in terms of before God. And so I want you in your mind, in your heart, for just a second to answer this question, simply yes or no. But don't answer it too quick. Don't answer it religiously. I asked three people this week, because I didn't have many opportunities where it seemed appropriate, but I asked three people this week, are you blessed? And each one of them, boom, yes. I didn't want to pry. I didn't want to check out if they had listened to my sermons or not, but I just thought, interesting. Absolute, no questions asked, yes. So we're going to look just for a second at these three things that we looked at the last few weeks. Blessed is specifically, it starts off to have found approval from God. That's the starting place before blessing of any sort and blessed can happen, is you being in the right place to have had found God's approval. So I'm going to ask again, are you blessed? Are you confident that you're in a place properly before God? Here's what the psalmist says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. Are you blessed? Now, there's a danger in this question because it could sound judgmental or condemning, but you have to remember there's no condemnation in Christ, right? But there is evaluation. There should be. When Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount and he starts listing off these things that make a person blessed, to make them rightly positioned before God, his intention was for the people listening to go, am I these things? If God were to search me, Am I poor in spirit? If God were to search me, am I meek as we understand them to be? So I'm asking, are you blessed? Because that's the starting question for each of our mornings each day. Am I rightly positioned before God? Because if I'm not, that's the first step. Get rightly positioned before God. So the second piece was a blessing. That's like, and we talked about this, something that you get from God. You received something from Him, a tangible, spiritual, experiential, whatever it is. And then that leads to this third piece, to have received a blessing. So a blessing is something that God has given you, and you'll have to listen to earlier to understand that if you weren't here. But if you have received something from Him, maybe peace in your heart in a very difficult circumstance, or faith in the midst of trial, something like that, that's a gift from God, and you've received that, then you have received a blessing, something you would not have acquired on your own. Now, our verse that Kay read, I'm going to start in the middle of it. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Now, this is straight out of the Psalms, and one of the problems with reading this, if you get to here, might be, yeah, I remember God did something a long time ago. Those things absolutely matter. They're in the Old Testament things that God has done. We're going to look at one here in a second, but they matter. But notice verse 12. He doesn't stay past tense. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. That he's making the decision, and we're going to look at the earlier verses here of what's going on, but he's making the decision not just to remember, yep, God's powerful, and he parted the Red Sea, and he did all those things in the Old Testament. He actually still is doing work. This psalmist is taking a look at what has God done, and what is he doing? Now, Joshua chapter 4 says this. He said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. Most of us are familiar with God parting the Red Sea. The Israelites are getting out of Dodge and heading out where God's called them, and they run up against the Red Sea, and it's like, well, now we're dead. Can't swim that far. Egyptian army coming, it's done. Moses is like, I don't think God brought us all the way here to just have us be killed. God parts the sea. We know that one. Later, in an equally miraculous time, Joshua's leading. They have to go into the land. There's the Jordan. It's a big river. They got to get across it. There's no Egyptian army that's causing them problems, but what God wants to do is establish, I'm still the same God that I was back then, right now, and I can still take care of you like I did then, here and now. And so what's he do? He stops the Jordan. This one, because it's a flowing river, he doesn't have to part it, he just stops it. And the waters back up upstream, and they stop where it's at, and the ground dries up as the water flows past. And what is taking place here is that Joshua is saying, I want you to go get a dozen stones. And I want you to take those stones and create a marker so that we'd never forget that God is not only faithful in the old stories, he's faithful in the current moment. He not only can part the Red Sea back in the day, he can stop the river right here today in the same way. It's not an accident, it's the same action, stopping the waters to remind that it's not the old stories, it's the current living God that is here. And so they make a stone monument so that anytime anybody sees it, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan. What do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Why tell them that? Because everyone in Israel knows about the parting of the Red Sea. Everybody knows about it. And make this monument so they know it wasn't a one-time thing. make this monument here so that you will remember. So when we look at blessed, the two different terms, we have to keep this in mind. Blessed, first and foremost, means to be rightly related with God. And then to have received blessings from Him. What those are, we will talk about at a later time. What those blessings are unique to each individual at some level. Some not. Some are universal. Saved by grace. All of us have access to God through grace to be saved. Whether we have this blessing or that blessing or this gift or that gift, what we do have to remember is that God gives good gifts to His children. And so we get to this place where if I'm asking the question, am I blessed? The first thing is, am I right with God? But the second is, then what has He done in my life and for me as I have walked through my own faith journey? So look at this Psalm 77, 9 to 12. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your miracles of long ago, parting the Red Sea. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds, stopping the Jordan, back then and right now. Look what comes a couple of verses earlier. Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion? If I were to read even earlier in that psalm, this is that Psalm 77, read the whole psalm, it's pretty desperate early on. It starts off saying, I cried out to God for help. I cried out for God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out an untiring hand, and I would not be comforted. A man who's in distress is writing this, and he comes to a point where he makes a decision. In verse 10, he says, then I'd forgotten, or has God forgotten to be merciful? Is His anger withholding His compassion? And then he gets to this place in verse 10, and he says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. He pauses in his desperation, and he pauses in his place where if I had sent him a text and said, hey, are you blessed? He would have said, no, I'm not. I'm not rightly aligned with God, and I don't see His fingerprints on my life. I don't see it. And he gets to verse 10, and he says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out His right hand. Right now He's looking backwards. I remember how faithful God's been in the past. The years when the Most High stretched out His right hand. Yesterday, I had to move my son up to his apartment for college. It's his last year to move there. We had talked about that he could get some of his friends to help him move because he's got friends and their backs are younger than mine. Turned out that didn't work out. Thursday night, he said, hey, Dad, could you get a U-Haul on Labor Day weekend for Saturday? That's what I said. But I looked online, and sure enough, they had one. Somewhere in Central Oregon, there's a U-Haul available. So I got a hold of Al and said, hey, have you got a trailer, the trailer that I borrowed from a couple of times? And he said, yeah, I've got it. And so I got the trailer and hooked it up to my truck, and Zach and all of his one girlfriend showed up to help him move. So it was a strand of three, which would easily be broken. We started loading stuff up. 8 a.m. Zach, we're taking off early. I got things to do. Let's get that baby loaded up. So we get it loaded up. We go up, and I'm leaving some stuff out because you guys have a Labor Day to celebrate. But so we got up here to Safeway because Zach's girlfriend wanted a coffee, and it turns out everybody wants coffee at 8:15 on Saturday morning. And so Zach sent out a text, said, hey, there's a line. And I said, okay. And 25 minutes later, he comes out and says, well, we're almost done. I could have driven to Brazil, gotten coffee beans, ground them up, but we didn't do that. While I'm sitting there, I have my phone in my hand because nothing else to do. It starts to rain. I had checked the day before and said it wasn't going to rain. Said that Saturday, Sunday was going to be a little overcast, but it starts to rain now. We packed in such a way that it wouldn't rain, and all of his wood furniture was in the trailer uncovered. A bookcase that I gave up that was mine, I let him have. It was there, made out of actually hardwood and varnished. And then there's some press board. And you know how press board does in water, probably. I think diapers are made out of press board. It does the same thing. Just, but so we finally get his coffee, and we start to drive. And I'm totally serious. We get on I-5, and you can kind of see when you're going down the South Center Hill, there's this channel that runs right over Renton to Bellevue. If there wasn't trees in the way, you could actually probably see Bellevue. And it was pretty clear to my left and pretty clear to my right, and there was just a downpour all along 405. So we drive, windshield wipers going, Zach's stressing out. I'm trying to maintain my composure, but not, because Zach's like, is this going to ruin the wood? And I said, well, it's wood. And so we get there. It stops raining just when we're pulling in. And we had pulled out as many napkins as we could out from under the seats and out of the, and there was an old dirty towel. It's like, when we get out, we got to dry everything off. And we get out and we go around to the back, and there is not a drop of water on anything in the trailer. Not one drop. And yeah, see, that's what I, and you would think then I would remember, because I'm preparing a sermon on this sort of stuff, that I'm going to remember the things that God does. And I was like, maybe there's like an air, you know, kind of a, I don't know, a wind shear or something that was covering me. And I did momentarily say, well, God's kind. That's all I said for the moment. I should have put 12 rocks down, but I didn't. And we go inside to the apartment or to the office, and we're there for an hour and a half. And I won't bore you with why, but they didn't have our room ready. They wouldn't give us the keys because we didn't have the insurance right. And the insurance company had actually put somebody else's name on the insurance policy on the wrong address. And so we had to go over and over and over and over. So I'm really frustrated because I got stuff to do. I got home at 5:40 last night after we were all done. Now, I didn't pull my back out. My furniture wasn't ruined. My son was moved in. We got everything done. And I still didn't remember what I was preaching on. Because I'm home at 5:40 thinking, I got a sermon I got to finish up. I got to eat dinner. My kid's getting on my nerves. It's so easy to forget what God does for us. It is so easy. And this is why this matters so much. Then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years when the Most High stretched out his hand, I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. That line, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I started off asking, are you blessed? I hope that you pause enough to say, am I right with God? The whole reason to give this series of sermons was that we would start this year evaluating our lives. Am I right with God? Am I where I should be in my heart, in my spirit, in my actions, in my ministries? Am I right with God? And if yes, don't stop asking. Keep checking. Am I right with God? Because movies with little kids gone astray happen. Moving your son without proper help happens. And your heart gets picked at and picked at and picked at. And you forget what God's done. This is what happened with the Israelites. Remember, they wanted to go back to Egypt? If you haven't heard the story, sometimes read it. But they get, by the hand of God, delivered out of the most oppressive life you could possibly have. And they get out. And at some point, they're like, yeah, well, you brought us out here to die in the desert. We could be back in Egypt as slaves. Let's go do that. Because they forgot. So God did it for them again. I'm going to part the waters again. And I'm going to show you again. And if we had time and went into it, Israel would do the same thing again and again and again. Forgetting what the Lord has done for them. And so this question, am I blessed? Is one we should ask every day. With a commitment that if I discover I'm out of alignment a little bit, that'll be my first order of business. But if I discover that I am rightly aligned, as best as I understand, I look at my heart and I ask the Lord to search me and I listen to His voice and He says we're on track, then that we will then try to see the things that He's doing every day. This is how I'm going to put it, that we would be intentional in this school year to recognize what God's doing. The person who taught me the most about this, I don't know if she is in here, Sue, is Sue go up with the kids? She's the best I know at it. I was in a meeting with her last week, and we were talking about some stuff, and she said, I've been reading my journals from when we started this church. I just got through getting rid of like 6 notebooks from being an elder, not because they were taking up space and the stuff I need is in another one, but I didn't have records of everything God's done in my notebook, so it was okay for me to get rid of them. They weren't of any value. She's got journals from when we first started. And reading stuff out of them, it's like, I remember when God did that. That's right. It's very easy to go, yeah, we got here somehow. She's got record of it. So I'm going to ask us to consider this. I'm not going to put a mandate on. I actually thought about bringing notebooks and handing them out, but I decided not to do it because I don't want to put anything on you. But I would challenge you to consider this. Get a journal. And at least once a week, take a few minutes, let's say 20, sit down and say, what's God done for me this week? So a year from now, you could go back and have 52 entries. God did this. God did that. Because if you ask me right now, what did God do for you last September? I'd have to work hard to figure it out. And I know He did stuff. Here I am. I know He did stuff. There are things in my life that I will never forget that God's done. Amazing things. I can recite, I won't now for time, but there I could tell you many, many times where it's absolutely clear that God did these, but I will be willing to wager there's so many more that I forgot. Smaller things, big things, I don't know. But what's going to happen if you do this, be intentional, is this: the devil's going to show up and he's going to try to wrestle it out. And this is why we make commitments, and this is why we make memorials. I'm going to do this. So for just a second, I'm going to ask you, and between you and God, and you can just pause. You don't have to make any sort of a commitment. But I'm going to ask you to maybe commit to the Lord that this year, once a week, I'm going to remember the deeds of the Lord and write them down. If you're excited about the Lord, and maybe if you're excited about our church and you're excited about what He's going to do this next year, think how fun it would be to be able to sit down 1 year from today and flip back. Oh, that's right. I remember when that happened. I remember I started praying for this person then and it was answered 4 months later. I remember that now. Would you be willing to be intentional about remembering the deeds of the Lord? I think that the Lord this year is going to ask us to be intentional about a few things. This is the first one. The others will wait and see. But if you're in with me and you're interested in giving it a shot, get a little comp. We actually have like 80 composition books on the bottom shelf over there that are empty. If you want to take one on your way out, you can take one and use that and just start. Week one, I remember that the Lord did this. I remember that the Lord did. Don't go backwards. Start today. Let's see what He'll do for the next 365 days if we're intentional about remembering His deeds. Because if we are, we'll find a year from now when somebody says, are you blessed? You'll look in your heart and go, I'm right with God, and I'm so blessed because He's a good God, and He always is faithful to His word. Amen? Amen.